Now 6:32, and joining us live to discuss the situation in Ferguson, the Reverend Jesse Jackson joins us. Reverend Jackson, I know you've been to Ferguson, not there currently this morning, but we appreciate you joining us here on WTOP. Welcome in.
Indeed. Morning.
Now, having been in Ferguson, do you get a sense there that people believe that unless the Attorney General is involved, that there won't be fairness and justice brought in this case?
There's a pattern of injustice and police brutality against the majority population in Ferguson. Therefore, they have no confidence in the prosecutor or even in the infrastructure. All they know is that 7 days after Michael had been publicly executed, that they would not reveal the identity of the police who did the shooting. And they released a tape at the same time seeking to discredit Michael, which was quite a popular point because he was not killed as a suspect, just as a citizen in his own neighborhood. And then 9 days later, they released the autopsy and still not even charged the policeman as a suspect. So the distrust continues to grow.
Now, Reverend, what do you expect that Eric Holder will be able to do today? And do you hold the opinion that President Obama should also be there in Ferguson?
Not necessarily. I think that if he's there, it takes it to another level. Eric Holder is sufficient as a top lawman, the nation's top lawyer. He'll bring a measure of credibility to it. After all, people want to see that there be some stopping of these killings, these executions, where there is no consequence. After all, the killer of Trayvon Martin walked away free. The police who killed Diallo shot him 41 times. The four of them walked away. The people who beat Rodney King walked away. At some point in time, there must be some deterrence to these killings, and they would hope that his presence there represents a kind of deterrence.
Reverend Jackson, you referred to the killing of Michael Brown as an execution, and I want to ask you, we haven't had this independent investigation. It is still an ongoing situation. We're trying to get all the facts together to come up with what hopefully will be a fairness and a justice that everyone can appreciate. So is it fair to call it an execution at this point?
What we do know is that Michael Brown was unarmed. He was shot six times, and more bullets than six were fired. We know that. We know that the police officer assumed the role of judge and jury and executioner. It was a horrendous and violent killing. Now, he might argue his motive and he was afraid, something of that sort, but most of the facts are kind of public.
Do you believe that what we are seeing is a representation, whether it's in California, it's in New York, or it's in Ferguson or any other town in America, is the fact that we have not advanced race relations in America to the extent that people believe, regardless of skin color, that the police are treating them fairly, and that problems that may be racially motivated exist in our society? How do we get ahead? Where do we go from here?
Race is the fact, but not the only fact. That I'm convinced that the Ferguson is a metaphor for abandoned urban America, which faces the most unemployed, the poorest schools, highest infant mortality rate, shortest life expectancy, most imprisoned. So vertical horizontal segregation has been replaced by a kind of vertical disparity, and these disparities in jobs and health care and life options accumulate.
What turns it around, though? How do we advance?
Well, I think we must, in this instance, not shout before the game is over. We'll take a renewed look at the Crony Commission report, which described in detail. At that time, we were separate and unequal. Today, we are free and less equal. But he had, in addition to the analysis, some budget for evening the playing field. The reason why blacks and whites get along so well on the football field when Washington plays New York, for example, you can pull for Team A and Team B and not use race, but use uniform as the color. Whenever the playing field is even and the rules are public, the goals are clear and the referees are fair and the school is transparent, we can accept the outcome, but the playing field is not even. In Ferguson, 56 police, 3 African-American, firemen can't find one. Blacks there are hardly on the juries and in no appointed position. And so, of course, you must revive the spirit and begin to vote anew. present status there, someone on occupation, and they feel the alienation deeply.
Reverend Jackson, there has been a lot of criticism brought out by this incident that the majority of black killings are black-on-black crimes, but there's no outcry like this.
Well, that is a concern that we have, that blacks have always been the weak link in the justice chain. We know that oftentimes when blacks kill whites, it's quick justice in jail time. And when the whites kill blacks, often in this way, it's rebellion or riot time. When blacks kill blacks, people shrug their shoulders, kind of Miller time. They would adjust it to it. We must not adjust to anybody killing anybody. We must be as sensitive to killing no matter who does, to killing no matter what the ethnicity. This ultimately is an ethical issue, not just an ethnic issue. Our society is kind of tilted in that way, where blacks are the weak link in the justice chain. That's why we're the most electrocuted, the death penalty, the most in jail, or the lowest jobs and the lowest pay. That is the legacy of 246 years of slavery and 100 years of Jim Crow. That is the wound that must be healed.
Mm-hmm. Reverend Jesse Jackson with us live on WTOP. Let's hope we can find peace and justice, Reverend Jackson, mm-hmm. just as quickly
as
possible.
I've found in Ferguson very good and decent white people who would be excellent coalition partners with blacks. It is not as polarized, I think, as the old South was. There is an excellent possibility of a real black-white coexisting coalition in Ferguson. Let's hope for that day.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sharing that. Appreciate you being with us this morning. I know you're busy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Jackson.